Good evening, everybody. I was making a calculation on the back of this notebook. It's a very interesting calculation. The people in Tape Land might not know it, but the people here know about me, Ashri. You should live 120 years. And I started to think, how many minutes in 120 years? And I didn't do it in my head, but I came up with 63,072,000 minutes in 120 years. That ain't bad. However, how many seconds in 120 years? 3,784,320,000 seconds in 120 years. So when I tell you about me, Ashrin, you should live to 120, or Ad Me'av Esrim, try any language you like, it's 3,784,320,000 seconds. I look at the man in the front row, he says, so what? If I told him it was dollars, he'd be jumping for joy. But I tell him it's seconds, he goes, eh. 3,784,320,000 we have a phrase called Baba Yamim. Came with his days, comes with his days, if you're grammatically correct. Abraham came with his days. David came with his days. Sarah, Vayu, Chaye, Sarah. Somehow, the Torah stresses to us to live full days. Now you might ask me, how many seconds in a day? I didn't figure that yet. There's 1440 minutes times 60 seconds in a day. 1440 is easy. 60 minutes times 12, 720, 1440, 24, 1440 times 60. That's how many seconds in a day. What?
84,000.
Something like that. So you gotta appreciate this, because what the Torah tells us is the tzaddikim, the righteous people, lived full days, which means they utilized those moments fully. They didn't kill time, and time didn't kill them. They lived productively. Now, some people think productively means I finish my needlepoint, I bake the cake. Could be, by the way. We're going to see tonight a lot of mundane things is productive. But overall, there's a lot of things we do that waste time. And when you waste time, you waste an opportunity. Before Bereshit, before Vayhi Or, Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, there was no time. Hashem doesn't need time, He doesn't know time, He doesn't care about time. Past, present, and future is all the same thing. We, with our little brains that get confused and excited and all balled up when we don't have a nice schedule and we walk around that with palms and blackberries and things, we need computers to keep track of our time. We need a past, a present, a future, just to put things in order. You know, you'd hate to think that Meir's bar mitzvah and his birth is milad the same day. You can't comprehend that all these events to Hashem happened the same day, at the same moment, because to him it's all the same. So he created a creation called time. It's a measuring stick, it's a yardstick, it puts events in perspective, but it's a creation. Just like light is a creation, the ocean is a creation, and each one of you as a human being is a creation. Time is one of the things Hashem created in Ma'aseh Bereshit, when He created this, we call it world, but this creation, the Bidiyah they call it. And I mean, with a person like Sarah, they say her life was perfect. How perfect her life was. She suffered. She didn't have children for 90 years. She suffered abductions, molestations, famines, travels, and Torah tells us all her days were great. Abraham Avinu, accomplished. David HaMelech, accomplished. They lived full lives. So it's more than just accepting the bad with the good. That's a whole different shmooze. That's a whole different talk. Like if it was Chaya Sarah, we could probably talk about that. How could a woman suffer what she suffered and you still tell me she had a great life? But that's not tonight's. Tonight's subject is to value this gift, this opportunity called time. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to appreciate it. And I don't think most of us do. Because we waste a lot of it. There was a sefer called Gesher HaChayim, still is. It had to do with life and death and mourning. And tells about a convicted criminal who was so depressed that he tried several suicides. Yet on the day they were taking him to his execution, a stone fell from a wall adjacent to the path he was walking in, and he ducked and ran away. Now a guy who tried suicide, tell him, okay, thank you, you should stand there and let it hit. But when a person realizes they might lose a life, they suddenly value it beyond belief, even against what his thought processes told him he would like. I have even a better story. There was a guy that was convicted. His penalty was the death sentence. And that day came where, as they always do, in the state of Connecticut, at 7 a.m. on the 14th of blah, 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 well, shall be, blah, 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 the decree is being read. The criminal, who of course dread the moment of his own death, said, I have an objection. What's the objection? When I did the crime, and when I was sentenced, it was standard time. And now it's daylight savings time. So 7 a.m. is really 6 a.m. because you changed the clock on me. I deserve another hour. Now imagine, the hour he's going to get is not a guy partying in Acapulco. He's not away on vacation. He's going to be sitting in a cell awaiting execution another hour. Whatever psychological torture that entails, he's going to suffer. But one thing he knew, I want to live. And if they miscalculated the amount of time I'm supposed to, if I can come up with a gimmick to live another hour, whatever that hour is, I want to live it. I mean, what was this guy fighting for? He was fighting to live. Even more fantastic is the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim had a yeshiva in Radin, Poland. And Rav Naftali Trop, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, was his Rosh Yeshiva. Was the one who helped him build the place, run the place, teach the young men. It was just an amazing place. And Rav Trop got sick. Deathly ill. And one of the students came up with a fantastic plan. We're going to petition Shamayim that we want him to live, and each one of us is going to donate from our life to him. And they walked around with a pad or a notebook, and they went from person to person, and they petitioned to donate time. Now this is not unusual. You might think this sounds crazy. This sounds crazy. Why would somebody, where would they get such an idea? Well, it says that when Adam was created, first man, being the father of everybody, including us, he wasn't Jewish, but he's still our father. Adam was shown by Hashem all the neshamot that are going to come from him. And as he was viewing history, he saw, lo aleinu, bar minan, should never happen, a stillborn. And when he looked at that neshama, he said to Hashem, this neshama is stillborn. This is an amazing neshama. This is a neshama that's going to sing Tehillim to you. This is a neshama that's going to be a king of Israel. This neshama could buy the property with which the Beit HaMikdash, on which the Beit HaMikdash can be built. This neshama was David HaMelech. And Hashem's original plan was for him to be born, stillborn. So Adam said, you can't do it. Hashem's answer, that's my gezerah. I don't explain myself, I only tell you what I decided. So Adam HaRishon tells him, how long am I going to live? Oh, you're going to live 1,000 years. Exactly. 1,000 years? Give him 70. Take 70 from me and give it to this David HaMelech guy. Give it to him. And so it was. Hashem agreed. By the way, another Midrash tells us that when Adam got to 930, he begged Hashem to give him the 70 back. He too valued those years. Even after living 930, boy, what kind of arthritis he must have had. His back, I don't know whatever goes on. I mean, the drug companies must have loved him. 930 years later, I want the 70 back. Hashem did not agree because it was a deal. So this idea of giving from one neshama wasn't unusual. So they went around the yeshiva, and one student gave a week, one student gave a month, some gave less. And somebody said, but you didn't go to the Chafetz Chaim? It's his partner. This is his favorite rabbi in the world. I can't imagine what he'll give him. So they went to the Chafetz Chaim. They asked him. He thought, and he thought. And they started to think, wow, how much time is he going to give him that he's thinking so much? I said, I'll give you 1 minute. I said, Rabbi, 1 minute? Nobody gave that little. Everybody gave an hour, a day, a week. Some people gave a month. How could you give a minute? He said, even that's too much. So now, I want to try and understand. That's our introduction to the value of time. These 3,784,320,000 seconds of your life. About me, Ashim. That's 120 years in seconds. The Mishnah Pirkei Avot tells us, Yafa Sha'a Ahat, 1 hour, really 1 moment, B'tshuva U'ma'asim Tovim, making repentance or doing good deeds be'olam hazeh, in this world, mikol chaye ha'olam haba, from the entire existence, which is eternity, which is a long, long, long time. That's another class. How long is eternity? Just quickly, Rabbi Dessa brings a mashal. If you saw on one of these beaches, you saw one of those long beaked birds with the long legs, like an ostrich or whatever they call them, flamingos. And he went, he got one grain of sand and he took it from where the ocean bed is and he put it on the sidewalk. And then he went back and he got another grain of sand from the ocean and he put it on the sidewalk. And he went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. If he finished all the sand at the bottom of the water and created a beach 10 times the size of what you see over here in Long Branch, that's still not eternity. Eternity is much, much longer than that. And that's the life we have coming. And the Mishnah tells you, 1 moment here is worth more than all of that. So it's a very surprising statement. First of all, everybody knows what we want. We want to go to Olam Haba. That's our goal, right? So how could anything here be better than that? That's like planning for vacation, you shop for your shirts, you shop for your skirts, you shop for your sandals, you shop for your thing, you get a hotel, you pack your food. That's better than going there. Now, being there is the whole idea. Not all that preparation. It's when you get there and you sit down and you have a good time and the weather's nice and it's freezing in New York. All you do is watch the weather. Every people love whenever they go on vacation. All they do is talk about the weather in New York. Oh, you heard about New York today? 20 below, snow. Wow. Listen, you're spending all that money. You should get a deal. It makes it feel easier. I think the Torah attitude is to feel bad for the people that are left in New York. But that's another class. So now, how could you tell me in the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avot, which is all the wisdom of the world in one book, that one moment here is better than all of eternity? There was a man named Yosef Meshita. This guy was not the best Jew of all time. When the Romans came, and they took over Yerushalayim, and they defiled the temple, they told this guy, now that we're in charge and destroying the building, we want you to go into that holy place and take out anything you want. And whatever you take out will be yours. So he goes in and he sees a beautiful candelabra. Now, nobody's supposed to steal from the Mikdash. But he says, you know, they're in charge now. They gave me permission. And he goes in, knowing that he's violating the sanctity of the place. They said to him when he came out, that's beautiful. In fact, it's too nice for a commoner like you. And they took it away. Now go in and take something else, they told him. He realized when they said commoner, me, what right do I have to walk into the Beit HaMikdash? I should have known better. Hashem. He bangs his chest. He makes vidui. He cries. He makes teshuvah. They tell him, if you don't go in and get something else, we're going to torture you. And they torture him. And in his last minutes, he said, woe is to me that I angered my Creator. Gemara tells us, in that 1 minute at the end of his life, as bad as he was all the rest of his life, he got Olam Haba. That's what you could do in 1 minute. He got Olam Haba in 1 minute. Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who lived a life of perfection, cried when he heard the story. Some say he cried because he realized, look what I do all my life. He got it in 1 minute. Some say he cried from happiness. Look at the value of 1 minute. Look how many minutes I have. But in the end, it shows you 1 minute of accomplishment can only exist in this world. And we go back to minutes. You have 63,072,000 of them to accomplish, to do, to create your Olam Haba. Now your Olam Haba is not my Olam Haba. And his Olam Haba is not his Olam Haba. Everybody has their own Olam Haba. And they have their own lifetime to create the Olam Haba. Now, the women of our community are very talented. And they love to make the famous talit bag called the koracha. And they make them in needle point with a beautiful pattern, the name, gorgeous colors, as a bar mitzvah present, an anniversary present for their husband. And really, I've watched it. It takes months. The red thread, the blue thread, the gold thread, take it back, let them put the name. Not so easy. A needle point. Now, let's leave the side of the room alone. Do you know how a needle point works? You just like the koracha, you're very happy. Okay, you got a nice pair. Let me explain to you. It's not so easy. She goes into the store and they have all these rectangular I guess we would call them nets. Looks like a piece of fabric with a lot of holes in it. And printed on the netting type of fabric is a picture. A picture of a Torah, a picture of a lion, a picture of a fire, whatever the pattern is. Yerushalayim has different colors, but if you look through it, it's a bunch of holes. The woman buys that along with the yarn that's used to fill the little holes. And I would say there's maybe 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 across. More? How many? Yeah, but let's say you have a nice kuracha like that big. A few hundred across by a few hundred down. There's tens of thousands of these holes. And each hole has a specific color that belongs in there if you want to get the pattern right. And so she sits down, honey, today is July 10th, I'll see you in April. No more talking till April. It's a great shalom biting. There's no fighting when she's doing needlepoint. She's busy. You just watch this thing of filling every single hole with the proper color, one by one, straight across. Second row, which is, you're talking about millimeters is the size of the hole. They're not inches, they're millimeters. Until the tens of thousands are finished, got a beautiful piece of artwork. A painting in yarn. Good? Ah. Hilel HaZaken says, in lo achshav ematai, if not now, when? What does that mean? It means if you don't do it now, when are you going to do it? Now, most people feel that means I know the rule. If a mitzvah is bali adecha, if a mitzvah comes to your hand, al tach mitzena, don't leave it off, it's like chametz. How does dough rise when you leave it? You put that towel on top, you put it in the bowl, I come home, I see a monster. My wife gets caught somewhere in traffic or looking for parking on Avenue P, the thing is like taking over the kitchen. But they cover up the bowl with the blank, with the towel, and the dough rises. 18 minutes, chametz. So they say, when a mitzvah comes to your hand, don't let it become chametz. Don't delay. So most people think that what Hilel HaZaken meant, im lo achshav ematai, it means, do it now, because it'll spoil. Maybe you won't have an opportunity to do it later. Isn't that what it means? That's what you think it means. It's not what it means. Every moment of your life was created for a reason. The person lives 30, 50, 70, 90, 96, 96 in 3 months, 96 3 months in 2 days, 96 3 months, 2 days in 4 hours, 96 3 days, 4 days, 7 minutes, 7 minutes in 14 seconds. That whole life was planned by Hashem so that that person can accomplish with those moments the building of their own Olam Haba. So now, this moment, right now, I mean the one that just passed, oh, the one that just came, oh, that one left. These moments are moments of your life. And while you're sitting here listening to Torah attitudes on different subjects and different explanations of Mishnayot, you are using those moments productively. And you say, okay, I guess that's why I'm here. I'm using them productively, and I'm filling in the holes in my needlepoint, which is my Olam Haba. Now, in a needlepoint, if you miss, oh my goodness, could you imagine? You miss, I'm not going to miss a space because that's no fun. You missed a row. Oh my goodness. Now what are you going to do? So you got to go back, but at least I could do it later. Bottom line, look at that, it doesn't work. But eventually I can correct it. It might take me a little longer or a little less to do, but in the end I end up with the picture. But you see, life is different. Life is very different. If I don't use the moment as it was intended, let's say somebody says, I got a friend here, Mr. Cassidy, comes over, he says, I have a chesed for you to do. I got to move all this stuff from my house into the garage. We're having a Sebet. Can you help me? I look at him. I look at the furniture. I say, well, I'm not available now. How about tonight? He says, okay. I say, okay. Now, I come tonight to help. I accomplished, didn't I? And I made up for what I didn't do this morning, didn't I?
Wrong.
Because that moment that I'm doing this chesed for my friend, Mr. Cassidy, was designated for me to do something good. And so was the one that I didn't do something good. So either this is the original time that I was supposed to move the furniture with him and I'm using it productively, but then I missed the morning time 5 hours ago and I didn't do it. Or this time was designated for something else, and now that I'm busy helping him, I'm not accomplishing that other thing. But bottom line, I know the men have a problem with this, the ladies know, either case, there's some holes missing in my needlepoint. Because I didn't put the right color in the right hole. And if you do that enough, you don't have a beautiful piece of artwork when you're done. You have a hodgepodge that you're not going to sew on any bag, frame in any frame, or show to anybody. Because it's not a beautiful needlepoint. It's just a bunch of thread. That's what time is. So when Hillel HaZaken said in Lo Achshav, if I don't use this minute, if I don't use this second productively, Ematai, how could I make it up? Whatever other moment I try to do the good thing I could do now in, has its own purpose and its own opportunity. And I can't double up, I can't piggyback the opportunities. It's gone. Beautiful saying. Let me see if I can find it. Ha'avar ayin. The past is no more. He'atid adayin. The future didn't come yet. Ve'ahoveh, the present, keheref ayin. It's like the blink of an eye. In Lashon HaKodesh it rhymes. In English it translates into an amazing concept. The only time I'm alive is now. That's how important those 3,784,320,000 seconds are. They're now. And now is a hole in my needlepoint. And I have the thread and I have the opportunity to use it. And I better not waste it. Because whatever time I try to make it up, I'm busy with another hole. So how am I ever going to go back? I can't. So now we see the greatness of a David HaMelech, or a Sarah, or an Abraham, that Hashem can testify that their lives were complete. Their lives were total usage of the moments. That they never missed. You know, when you go to the, some people like this, they love to go to Barnes & Noble, like in December, and look for a new calendar. And calendars for the next year come in very many different ways. In our community, we don't buy calendars, because we get 12 of them in the mail with advertisements for every local business, you know, but you just pick the one that looks the nicest, or matches your kitchen, or at least it has sunset times, or whatever you need. But most people have different systems that they like. Some people buy the diary style day book. It has all the days of the year. It tells you how many passed and how many to come on the bottom of the page there. And it's permanently bound. And you write in your appointments and you jump back and forth. There are others that buy the type you flip over. You know, it sits on the desk and you flip over the days as they pass. And there's others who buy the type you rip off the page and you throw in the garbage. Starting to get the picture? The one who buys the bound day book fills in their appointments, fills in their accomplishments, and puts it there at the end of the year to have a book full of what they did, permanently bound. It's a book of accomplishment. It's a book of using opportunity. And others go in and they buy the type, you just rip off the page, throw it in the garbage. They didn't use their day. So you might as well just throw it away. It's not worth anything. It's Gemara in Masechet Shabbat that says, Hanoten matana l'chavero chayav l'hodio. It's an amazing concept. Everybody likes gifts here. I know you're behind, you know, all about 300 gifts. But that's only a week. I know one guy, he treats an invitation like a bill. When he gets the invitation, he opens it up. Before he throws out the envelope, he writes a check. He puts an envelope and a check to the address on the back. I said, what are you doing? He says, it's a bill. I got invited. It's a bill. But gifts, we like gifts. It says when you give a gift, some people get embarrassed. They like to give gifts anonymously. Some people like that. Give it, don't say it's from me. The Gemara on Shabbat says that's not the right way to give a gift. Hanoten matana l'chavero, a person who gives a gift to his friend, chayav l'hodio, he has to tell the person, I gave you a gift. One of the Mefarshim says, not only that, if it's expensive and valuable, the giver should advise the recipient, by the way, that's not the toilet water, that's the perfume. That's not CZ's, them diamonds. You should tell. Why? Sounds like a very... Yeah, I can see, look at the mess. She's smiling till now. I mentioned gifts, she was happy. I mentioned diamonds, she was smiling from ear to ear. I said, but you have to tell them. Well, what for? It's not tacky. I'll tell you why. When you look at it, you look at the social manners of the situation. What the Gemara is trying to point out to us is the purpose of a gift. The idea, the concept behind the gift is to create love between people. You give a gift, they should appreciate that I went and I shopped and I took my time and I took my money. Because I like that person. And I'm giving them a gift. When you shop for your husband's birthday, it's not always a robe and a tie and a shirt. You sometimes say, I really know he wants this. And you go out of your way, he might have a hobby that you know nothing about, but you know he spent. So you go to the store and you find out and you spend time and you inquire and you ask friends with the same interest, what should I get him? Could you find out? And you put your whole self to show him, my dear, you're special. And when he gets it and realizes it, he says, she really likes me. It creates a bond, and that's the purpose of a gift, not an obligation or a bill. So the Gemara says, listen, if I give something anonymously, who's the person going to like? Nobody. And if I give something that's very valuable, and they don't appreciate, they don't know what lalik means, I think it's a glass bowl, you know, you can get it in cost cutters for $4.99, or you can get it on Fifth Avenue or Madison Avenue for $4,099. But to them, it's a bowl you put fruit in, so who knows what it is? I don't know, what is this? You give it to me, I don't know. So, a person who gives it may not be appreciated. The purpose of the gift was not accomplished. They don't appreciate that you put yourself out for them. So now it changes your view of the gift. The Gemara is telling us, a person who gets a gift, chayav hodio. You have to make sure that they understand this is a sign of love from me to you. That I took of myself and my time and my effort and my money and it's costing me to show appreciation and liking for you. So it's a concept. I'm not tacky. We'll get into manners another time. But overall, you're starting to understand what a gift is for. Now, Hashem... Well, I'll give you another mashal before we get to the point. Could you imagine? A person wants his kids to like him. So he goes to the store and he buys rubies and diamonds and sapphires, emeralds. Why? The kids like colored marbles and stones. And he buys a little chest and he puts it in and he says, "Kids, here's a new toy." And they open up. "Wow, Daddy, it's beautiful, red and blue and green. Oh, it's so much fun." Well, Daddy comes back by the end of the week. There ain't two jewels left. He can't find anything. Because the kids, not realizing the value of the jewels, don't take care of them. So he might as well just buy them plastic or Legos in pretty colors and let them enjoy it. If they don't appreciate what it is, they won't take care of it. Do we appreciate the gift Hashem gave us called time? Which is really life? He gave us a box of jewels. Minutes, seconds, hours, days. And we kill time? The efficient use of time shows appreciation to Hashem for what He gave you. If you can maximize every single now, you're showing Him, "I know what it's worth. And boy, you must love me to give me something so valuable. And I love you back for giving it to me." Now the Yetzirah, our favorite counterpart, who doesn't want us to succeed in our lives, I always describe him as the power within a person that makes us behave contrary to the way Hashem would like. If Hashem wants us to do something, He tells us to stay in bed. If Hashem doesn't want us to do something, He gets us up at 4 a.m. He's great. That's called Satan and Lefanenu, to stop us, and Me'acharenu, to push us. We say that beat every night. What does He tell you? I'm going to a class. I'm waiting for my son to bring me my tefillin. I forgot them home. So now that I'm going to do a mitzvah, right, I'm going to put on tefillin. I'm going to go to a class. The time it takes me to get there, or the time I'm waiting for the item to arrive that I need for the mitzvah, that's not time. Is it? Oh, it is time. And it is your life. So what are you doing with it? You ever see a class when the rabbi is a few minutes late? And I'm not talking about the fourth grade. Fourth grade is paper airplanes and, you know, PlayStation portable and take out the cellular phones and play games. They know how to kill time. But adults, what do we talk about? What do? How do we spend our time? Waiting time. Waiting in the doctor's office. How many hours of your life was spent waiting in a doctor's office? How did you spend them? They're no different in total quantity than the amount of time you spent praying on Yom Kippur. An hour on Yom Kippur is like an hour today. It's an opportunity to live. It's an opportunity to do what Hashem wants. It's an opportunity to build Olam Haba. It's an opportunity to profit. Listen, I spent 30 years in business. And I'll tell you one thing. When we went to a show, or when we went overseas, time is money. You go overseas, you plan a trip, you arrive 8 a.m. after leaving Saturday night, somewhere in an oriental country, whether it be China or Hong Kong or Taipei. You leave Saturday night at 11 o'clock, you get there 8 o'clock in the morning Monday. You should be exhausted after 24, 25 hours of travel. with that noise from the plane racking your brain for 25 hours. So do you go to sleep? You go to work. Now normally you work 5, 6, 7. But you're overseas. So you work till midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. Because what? I'm overseas. I'm in accomplished. And you work like a dog. The longest hours, meetings in the hotel room, you don't sleep, you don't eat, there's no time for anything. Because the trip is the trip, and you got to maximize the time of the trip to profit the most you can before the trip is over. Same thing happens in a show. I remember once I went to a show, and we had a booth, and of course we're closed on Shabbat. The show was Shabbat, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. But it was that famous closeout show that overlaps with Magic. And once Magic opens on Monday, nobody goes to the closeout show. So Monday and Tuesday are dead. Shabbat, I'm closed. What day am I going to be there as early as I can and stay as late as they'll let me with no eating and going to the bathroom is a problem? Sunday. Why? This is not a day in my office. One day I show up 9, one day I show up. This is the show! I'm at the show. The show's over. Tonight it's over. If I don't accomplish now, what am I doing here? That's life. Life is the show. A baby spends 9 months, that Hashem, healthy birth, inside the womb. From conception to birth, how many weeks is it? I don't know, 27, 40, so 40 weeks. They never figure it right. Hazita, she's always waiting. She's past due, overdue. But it's 40 weeks. 40 weeks against the average age in America of 75 years. Is that a long time? Nothing. Don't ask the wife who carried it. But 40 weeks compared to 75 years, or what we're calling 120, it's not really a lot. But the 75 years in relationship to eternity is nothing. Zero. You can't measure it. It's so small. And that's the show. Because once you know Olam Haba, there's no more accomplishing. There's no more mitzvot. There's no more chesed. There's no more doing. You arrived. It's finished. How much in the bank? I don't know, how much did you do with the show? Would you waste time of the show because you want to read a magazine? No. So why are you wasting time of the show? David HaMelech, since we mentioned him, had a famous pasuk. B'yadecha itotai. My time is in your hands. Hatzileni mi'ad oivai mirodefai. Rescue me from my pursuers. Shav lachem mashkim ekum. It's vanity, it's emptiness to you who get up extra early. Ma'achere shevet, and those of you who work late. You end up aggravated anyhow. Calls it the bread of aggravation. Can you tell me the doshena? When you put your time in God's hands, He lets you sleep calmly. What a beautiful passage. Because you know something? I think it's a very difficult class to swallow. Come on, Rabbi. What do you expect? You're making like the show for 70 years. I collapse after one day at the show. How could I live at that pace? How can I do such a thing? And David HaMelech comes and says, you know something? This race against time depends on how you look at time. Modern men once imagined, and I'm one of them, I got the computer, I got the BlackBerry, I got this, I got that, everything's microwaves, everything's supposed to save us time. everything they made is going to save us time. All these time-saving devices do nothing but waste time trying to get them work. This program crashed, this one's not operating, how do I get a warranty? Call up your friend, can I change it for a new one in a box? What do we do? All these shortcuts waste time. We thought we'd have hours and hours of leisure time. I remember maybe 20, not so long ago. In fact, it was right after we went to the moon and they started coming out with all these new things that were offshoots of the space program. And a lot of electronics that kids take for granted today, digital clocks and all the stuff that we have, computers, was all an offshoot of the original space program in the 60s. And when the 70s arrived, the stock market was full of not dot-coms, not drug stocks, leisure stocks. What are people going to do with all this time we're saving them? With the computers and the high-speed this and the efficient that, what are they going to do? I could see from all you ladies, you have so much time on your hands. Your day is just, what do I do next? Honey, I'm so bored, can you talk to me? Sure, right? That was the dream of modern men. And the irony of it all is that all the progress has accelerated the speed and the incline of the treadmill of our lives. And any of you have a treadmill, the faster it goes and the steeper the incline, the more exhausted you get. We spend precious time earning the money it takes to buy and maintain our time-saving devices. We spend valuable nows learning how to use the newfangled things. And more time repairing them than it's worth when they don't perform as we expected. Where did we go wrong? Where is our free time? We went wrong when we violated the Pasuk of David. When we thought we could take control of time, Hashem laughed. I said, go ahead, try, let me see. When we felt we were masters of time, if I come in early and stay late, I'll accomplish more, we ended up accomplishing less. And being tired of it, see, just as a bonus. Our time is not ours, my friends. It's a divine gift. He knew that trying to own, to possess time would end in frustration. Therefore, David HaMelech said, surrender your time. Say, Hashem, I'm in your hands. B'yadecha itotai. You're doing a chesed? You're doing something nice for somebody? And you look at your watch, oh, I gotta go? And if you stay a few more minutes, maybe you won't hit that traffic, you can get home the same time. Finish what you're doing. If I'm doing what Hashem wants now, why should I stop for the next thing? That's called our segba mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. When you're doing a mitzvah, you're exempt from being involved in another mitzvah. Why? Listen, Hashem, you only gave me two hands. Famous expression. I only have two hands. I only have 1 minute. And I have to use that minute. Well, if I'm wearing my tefillin, then I can't be doing something else. And if I'm baking for some family who doesn't have what to eat, or the mother's sick in the hospital, then I can't do something else. So if you put your hands in Hashem's time, but you use all the time productively, Hashem will make time for you to do what you have to do. When you acknowledge that time belongs to Hashem, Hashem makes time for you. When you imagine you can control it, He laughs and shows you it's not true. The loyal believers And I'll tell you something. I have a busy day. I give my phone number to everybody, but try and get through. I have a busy day. But I make sure of one thing. I schedule as best I can, and I do as much good as I can. And I keep busy with Hashem's work. And somehow, the time gets filled, and I can honestly say at the end of the day, well, we got to what we could get to, but I see that it's 10 times what I could get to if I thought I could schedule it better. I remember in the office days, working a full day in the office, and learning, and teaching, and going, and coming, and helping, answering phone calls that interrupt the business day in order to take care of something else. End of the day, the work got done. And the guy next to me, who didn't learn and didn't take time out from Minchara, I tell him good night at 7:30, and he's still there till 9. What happened to the 20 minutes I used for Mincha? Hashem gave it back to me. Hashem, it's your Mincha. You owe it to me. I don't owe it to you. I just showed up. And I prayed. And it's good for me. That time that I took for Mincha. But where did it go? It didn't go anywhere. The work gets done. The Mincha gets done. The class gets done. The Mincha gets done. The Chok Israel is learned. And the work gets done. The woman takes care of her work. And her mitzvot get done. You do the mitzvot. Yes, it's not a shambles. And I see people involved in gemachs, and they're there, and they're taken care of, and they're helping, and they're going and say, how does this woman take care of 19 children? I don't know. They look fine to me. Successful. They get married. They have children. And they too do chesed. Time is not yours. But it is yours. It's your most valuable asset. Because it's your Olam Haba. And your job is to say, Hashem, what I'm doing with you want doesn't count. Make sure I have the time to do what I'm supposed to do with my time. And you know how I'm going to show you I want to do it? I start. I throw it in your hands. And you make it available. Isn't that a great system? But it works. It's a pasuk. And the pasuk of David HaMelech is the truth. And all the other calculations is the Yetzirah telling you the pasuk is not true. The pasuk is true. B'yadecha itotai. My time is in your hands. So you manage it while I do what you want me to do. And make time available so I can have fun on my computer. Oh, by the way, I'm out of time.